And welcome to this modified debut of Call KIDE. I decided to go ahead and do this debut, this modified version, because when we've been talking about it's coming soon to a radio near you. Well, I want to let you know, give you an opportunity to hear what it was going to sound like. And so we put together this this version of the debut of Call KIDE. And eventually we will have some more phone lines in here. We're waiting for part of our hesitation has been because we don't have the technical or the technicians come in there to hook up our new telephone system. So we've got all the parts. They're just sitting here. And we're waiting for somebody to come in, and we'll have to contract with them and come in and do all the connections. We've got a new telephone interface that will allow us to add up to six callers. Well, only we have four lines, but all four lines will be able to come into the studio. And sitting here in front of me, I have a guest module that allows me to control all of the phone lines. So I can add callers in, I can take callers off, I can mute them, I can make phone calls from here. So it's going to be an upscale live call-in program from what we used to have when we only had one phone line available. So that is still on its process. As soon as we get that hooked up, we'll be ready to go and add more things. Another feature that we're adding is we're going to be streaming pretty soon. Again, we've got the technology right here in this building, and we're just waiting to get those final things hooked up. We have an agreement with our website host, Copia Group, the Copia Group out of Arcata, and they're going to be allowing us to use their system to stream. We can have up to maybe 200 people connecting on the internet at one time. You know, people that are not in our broadcast range, tribal members living across the country, they'll be able to tune in to KIDE, and hopefully they'll be tuning in to Call KIDE, and we'll be able to add them to the discussions as they call in. So that's going to happen pretty soon, and hopefully when we do make the premiere, grand premiere of this program, we'll have all of those buttons ready to go, and we'll just go for it. So what we have is this sample of what it's going to sound like. And when you've been hearing this promotion for the program, you hear this theme song. This is the theme song I chose for this program. It's the Jackson Kent Blues. It's by the Steve Miller Band from their CD number 5. So that was back in 1970-something, I believe, something like that. I remember hearing that. I remember hearing that, and I remember the incident of the Jackson State University incident that happened there. It was during the Vietnam era, and the National Guard was called out to take control of these protesters that are out there demanding the end of the Vietnam War. And whatever happened, happened, and National Guard soldiers start shooting into the crowd, and there's that classic picture of that woman kneeling down with and trying to attend to this friend of hers who had been shot, and my eyes still water up when I even think about that photo, because that was a time, the Vietnam War, that was part of my experience there. So and probably another reason why I'm a conscientious objector to that. So it had a lot of meaning, and I think that song has that same meaning today as it had then, but with the confrontations with police officers and assault weapons and the use of force and trying to control people, and it's a big controversy, and it's a big issue, and I'm hoping that in some aspect of Call KIDE, we can address that. We can discuss that as a community, because we don't do that. We don't get together on live radio and say, hey, this is what happened. What do you think? Are you in for it? Are you against it? What's your opinion? Because everybody's opinion is important. So this is what Call KIDE is going to be about. So I thought, well, you know, I'd like to be able to explain to you also some of the things of how does KIDE operate? It's a broad discussion. It's something that actually today, December the 16th, is the 35th anniversary of KIDE. We signed on the air 35 years ago today, 10 o'clock a.m. And so I thought, it's a good time to start this show. Let's start it now, and we'll plan it, and we'll keep it going. Call KIDE. The 800 number will have the last four digits, KIDE. That's why we chose it that way. So what I want to do is this have explain to you what I call Community Radio 101, and I'll be using a PowerPoint presentation that I devised that kind of explains it. How does it work? How does it different? And how can it change and improve? Because it can't always change and it can't always improve. But this is the method. This is how it works. This is how it started. This is how it operates. This is how it fits within the community. And it's a PowerPoint presentation. I'll kind of walk you through it on air audio. But I also will have a town hall meeting probably at the San Juan Inn, maybe at the end of the month, maybe the 30th. You know, not on New Year's Eve, but the day before. I'll have this displayed, and you can come out here or come over there and I'll walk you through it again, because there's a lot of details that I cannot explain right here in the studio. You have to see it. That's all part of this presentation. So that's another thing. The basic format that we will be using in Call KIDE is I'll have a topic. It'll be the lead topic, and I'll address the topic. I'll give you my opinions about the topic. Sometimes will be a guest here in the studio with me who will also address the topic, because I'll find somebody, if it's a topic that I just don't know that much about, I have an opinion, I have some ideas about it, I can voice those, but I'll try to find somebody else who is actually dealing with it, who has a lot more insight to it, so that they can share that information with you. And then throughout the program, we'll open up the phone lines and you can give us a call. And we'll address that, your concerns, your questions, your insights, your own ideas. Let's get this discussion going. Maybe we have two or three callers all on the line at the same time, and we'll have a little small group discussion, and we'll talk about it. As we notice that the information and the ideas and the comments are kind of waning down, we'll take a break, and we'll go back to the theme song of Jackson Kemp Blues. And then during that time, you can call in to the station, because maybe you have a thought. Now you have an afterthought of what you heard. And that raised another question in your mind. And you call that question in. But maybe you don't want to be on the air. You know, a lot of people just don't like to be heard on the radio. And that's fine. So the engineer staff will be here, and they'll be able to take your question, your comment, and they can bring it in to us, or they can talk to us over our system here. And so we'll know that there's still some more interest in the community about this. This topic is not done yet. And we'll come back out of the break and we'll address that. Maybe you want to be on the radio and we can plug you right in. Simple. And then when we address that, we'll go back and take another shorter break and see if there's anything else. Any other callers? Any other comments? If there's not, we'll come out of that break and we'll move on to a new topic. Every program, I'm going to have at least four topics on my list. We'll address the first one. The other three, I'm going to hold in reserve. And as we go on, I will hopefully remember to time myself, and we'll be able to fill up an hour. Because an hour is a long time on live radio. It's a long time. And the reason why I dreamt it to or chose to go with the four topics is because sometimes you have to do that. Don't want to just keep on rambling on one simple topic or one hard topic and try to figure, oh, my goodness, I don't know where else to go with this. And I've been there. Don't want to do that again. So let's have, I'll prepare myself for four topics at a time. And then while you're listening, maybe you have an idea for a topic. Maybe that's how I'll end every show. Okay, what do you think the next topic should be? What do you want me to look into? Because that's part of what radio is. A lot of times when you say broadcast, that means you go out. But in order for community radio to really work, we have to be able to have our ears outside, find out what it is that is your concern, your questions, your fears, your doubts, your happiness, things that are concerning you that you like to have an open discussion on. You know, it's not easy to come up with a, you know, we don't have a platform out there on Highway 296 there to, you know, stand there with on your soapbox, you know. So why not, if we have something that other people want to listen to, well, we can test that. You know, we say, okay, talk about it for a little while. We'll get it's going to develop. So I just want to explain to you how this could work and how it will work is, I'll start with these four topics and see where they go. And then open it up and we'll get some other ideas. And maybe some of those ideas may not pan out. Maybe my ideas won't pan out. Maybe I start talking about stuff and take a break and nobody calls. Oh, okay, that's why. I have another topic. All right, don't want to talk about that. Don't want to hear more about that. Move on. And hopefully that will allow us to fill up a whole hour. And if not, hey, we could always go back to music. There's no problem. You know, this is live radio. There's a lot that we can do here. As I've always said, radio is limited only by your imagination. So hopefully what we imagine here and what we share here will continue to grow and continue to help explain things in a world that really isn't of our making, but it's something that we all are involved in. And let's share our thoughts and ideas. So what I would like to do at this point is we'll give you a sample. All right, I rambled on, and then we'll take this short break here, and we'll come back, and this is how it's going to sound. You got that music playing up again. We'll bring up that music a little bit more, and then you won't hear me for a little while. Okay, that's how it's going to work. You're going to hear that music, and that would be your cue if you want to give us a call and say, hey, I got another question about this. I had a comment about what you just got done talking about. And so we'll go back and pick it up again and talk some more on that topic. But if not, we don't have any callers, we don't have any other thing coming in, then we switch on to the next topic. So when you do call in, we don't need to know your name, maybe your first name. We'll just say your first name. And where are you calling from? Are you calling from Hoopa? And in case you're calling from, you're on the phone long distance, you're on our 800 number, we'd like to know, are you in Boston, Massachusetts? Are you in Bend, Oregon? You know, just your first name and the town that you're calling from. And that's all we need to know. So that's how that part's going to work. So let's go on with we'll start with that first topic. And like I said, I like to explain to you how KIDE works. You know, Community Radio 101. How it works is I'm going to follow this PowerPoint I have made. And how does it work? How's it different? And how can it change and improve? Well, some background to KIDE-FM. Question, well, who owns the FCC license KIDE-FM 91.3? That's a question. I'll give you a moment to think about that. Okay. Well, back in 1979, the FCC named the Hoopa Valley Tribal members 18 years of age and older as the license holder of KIDE-FM. There was a Hoopa Valley Telecommunications Corporation, and they had a board of directors, and they were established to oversee all future planning and building of telecommunication services to include KIDE-FM. Later on, the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council disbanded the Hoopa Valley Telecommunications Corporation charter, and they took over, the Tribal Council did, took over as the KIDE Board of Directors and the trustees of the FCC license. The owners of the license, or the license holders, I should say. Let me clarify that. The license holders of KIDE-FM is the Hoopa Valley Tribal members, 18 years of age and older. The trustees of that license is the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council. The FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, owns the broadcast frequency. They own the frequencies for everything, for radio, for television, for broadband, any system that involves radio wave bandwidth, including tribal police, ambulance, OES, Wi-Fi, cellular phones, landline telephone systems. If it involves a radio wave, the FCC is the one who owns the license. You violate their license agreement, they take away your license. They are the ones who have complete control over FCC licensing. Now, there's other stations that they call themselves private or pirate stations, right, such as the our friends over in Orleans out that way. They don't call themselves pirate stations. They call themselves damn free radio. Well, they don't have a license. And that's fine. I congratulate them. They're taking steps, and they're using radio frequencies. But, you know, if the FCC wanted to step on them, they could, and they can confiscate all of their equipment. But I kind of doubt that's going to happen, because they're not infringing on our broadcast signal or anybody else's. They're just doing their thing. And that, to me, that's okay. So how does radio work? That's a big question. It's a big mystery. How in the heck are my voice going across there and coming out this box over here that you're listening to? How does that work? I'll tell you, I don't know. You know, radio is a basic technology that is a mystery, and I am not the technician to explain it to you. But I do know that radio operates on a 60-second-minute, a 60-minute-hour, and a 24-hour day. That means on our end, in the background of all of these voices that you hear coming out of that little box, we have to be prepared at least 24 hours in advance in order to make it work for you. And that takes planning, that takes action steps, that takes telephone calls, that takes configuring the computers, that takes the scheduling, that takes the placing the item, each program in a proper order. That means somebody has to come in at a certain time and push a certain button. And it's all a coordinated thing. And it happens second per second, moment per moment. If you miss that time period when that button was supposed to be pushed, or that program was supposed to start, or that thing was supposed to happen, the time passed. You can't make it up. That's the other mystery in the element of live radio. If something is not prepared, then you have to find something else to fill that void. And so you move on. That's life in live radio. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress. But, man, it is fun. And I can't explain that any further, I guess. So one person with one computer can actually program a radio broadcast forever. I mean, we got the technology right here in this room, right here in this studio. We can put together a day program, an hour program, 2 days, a week, 2 months, 5 months. One person could do that. But what you'll get is what you paid for, a limited service. The more staff members you have, the much better sound, the much deeper the service. So that's why we've always been saying, you know, we need some more help here. You know, we only got four people doing this. Five. We're going to have five people. And well, hopefully we have six. Then we start adding in some volunteer people. Okay, then we have some more. And well, all depends on the contribution of the individuals. It's going to make the content in the services, the depth of it, not just the broadcast, but also like I'm talking about the outreach. We start having some outreach and start doing town hall meetings and take this energy we have, put it out there into the community and connect it with some other energies that are going on out there. You know, we'll get to that. Funding sources. Where do you get the funds? Well, at this recording time, we're waiting for the upcoming tribal council meeting that is going to authorize how much allocations the radio station is going to have for fiscal year 15. So that's one way that we have funds from the tribal council budget, from their discretionary funds, as the radio station is not a line item in the self-governance compact. So we get our money from however discretionary funds are used. And so we get a share of that. At one time, we weren't even in that level, but now we've moved up to that level, so we get a share of that. Maybe at some point we'll be placed as a line item in the actual governance compact. So that would mean that Congress would say, oh, yeah, and here's some money for the radio station. Just same as they say, oh, yeah, here's money for whatever emergencies or whatever solid line item like administration or Indian health or whatever. You know, maybe we'll have a share. I'm working on that. The other major funder that we have, our only real major funder, is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, CPB, they award eligible stations funds according to their operational size. KIDE, small operation, so we get a small award. I've always said, and a lot of other native stations have always said, you know, your funding allocation system is upside down. You know, those who are the smallest should get the bigger share, and those who are the biggest should get a smaller share. Because what they do, what CPB does, it awards the stations based on the amount of funds that come into the station that are not federally funded sources. So I can't say, oh, we got $100,000 from CPB, therefore we have $100,000 that I can claim as an award, or we got money from the Department of Labor, and so or the Department of Education, and their HUD or something, so I can count that money? No. If it's federal money from a federal bureau directly to the station, we can't count that as income as far as it goes for the CPB qualifications. That's part of the rules. However, if the tribal council were to get some money from the Department of Labor and it came to them and then they decided as a discretionary move to give it to the radio station, a certain sum of that, that would be local government funds, and we can count that. And that's how it works. That's how come the federal money that comes from Congress through the compact and then comes to the radio station, we can count as income. And that's how we make the very basic level in the CPB Community Service Grant. That's what we get, the Community Service Grant out of CPB. And they give us money. We have to have a minimum of $100,000 just to get on board there. And that's what the Tribal Council has always allowed us to have. This year, it looks like it'll be $94,800. That means we're going to have to come up with the balance, the other $5,200, just to make the bare minimum. But well, we also can use the indirect cost monies. So that's whatever that formula is that the tribe uses. We can take that amount too. So it could be maybe 38%. So that gets added up onto the actual money. It could be money or services or in-kind services. And we can add that, and that's going to get us over the $100,000. That would be good, but if we had more money and still were able to add to the services, then we get to the $200,000 level, and that's where the tipping balance happens. That's the tipping point when CPB says, "Oh, my goodness, you made $200,000, and you have this many staff." Where we're at, all we need is $100,000 and one full-time employee. We have to operate 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we have to have a community advisory board, and which is what I've been advertising, and we'll develop that and keep it going. It's kind of questionable whether or not we really need one, because it's, according to their CPB rules, community stations, non-government run stations need a community advisory board. I think technically we can claim that we're owned by the Hoopa Valley Tribe, which is a government. Therefore, we are a government equal to the state. A state-run non-commercial station doesn't have to have a community advisory board. We should be equal to the state in that acknowledgement. But I also agree that having a group of people, identified group of people, say, I would give you feedback on what it is that you broadcast and how well you're accomplishing your mission and your goal. And we'll be the eyes and ears throughout the community for you, and we'll bring you back this feedback on a regular basis. Some stations do it monthly, some do it annually, some do it every 6 months, some do it every 4 months. But however it works out, but it would be good to have this give and take information. And it's an advisory board, and that's the operative word there, advisory. I'll explain to it a little bit more about that later. But we're looking into that. And that all is tied into the Corporation for Public Broadcasting as an element of getting us money to operate. The tribal funds we use to pay only our key staff. Well, our staff is all key. So however many staff we have, we'll pay as many of these people as we can. And if we don't have enough money from the tribal allocations, then we dip into the CPB budget and augment that need. I do not intend and I do not want to lay anybody off or cut back anybody's hours. We will maintain what it is that we have, because it is to the best interest of the community that we have the full-time services of as many people as we have right now. That's 4, 5. We could use 16, but we've got 5. Don't want to cut back a minute of any of these people's time, because we need them. We got the equipment. Yep, the equipment is only as good as well as the people who use it. So we need more people to use what it is that we have, and we can expand and do more stuff. So